This is Doris Hyde for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Today's half hour, I will be reading to you the sound prints from April 14th is now online. The Friends in Art Scholarship deadline is approaching fast. Speaking Out for the Blind show on April 17th. The Fantasy Book Club meets 4/24, that's tomorrow, folks. Eyes on Success will have the guest Susan Bennett discussing the fact that she is the voice of Siri. Cool Blind Tech, if I've got time left. Tech Talk had a discussion with Karen Kenninger, director of NLS Bard, discussing the history of that organization. The Microsoft program manager, Jeff Bishop, has a really cool bio. I'm going to read that from the NFB website. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine for April 14th is now online. ACB board member Dan Dillon talks membership recruitment and fundraising at the 2019 KCB Crossroads Conference. Profile of ACB board member Jeff Bishop and his work with Microsoft. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Phone 502-895-4598. Email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Peter Altschul says, "Hi. Please circulate widely information about the Friends in Art Scholarship. The deadline is indeed May 15th, 2019. Please email me with any questions. Thanks, Peter." That would be creatingcommonground@outlook.com. You are invited to apply for the Friends in Art Scholarship. Friends in Art, FIA, a nonprofit organization with the mission of advancing accessibility and opportunity for artists and audience members who are visually impaired, offers an annual $1,500 scholarship to college students who are legally blind and live in North America. If you are a high school senior or a college student planning to or are currently majoring in the field of music, art, drama, or creative writing, and are blind or visually impaired, we encourage you to apply. Note, legal blindness is defined as an individual has visual acuity of 20/200 or less in the corrected eye and or 20 degrees or less visual field in the corrected eye. Only individuals who are legally blind in both eyes are eligible to receive this scholarship. To apply, please go to www.friendsinart.com. and complete the application, upload, email the required materials, including documentation of visual impairment from a medical professional, per the directions on the form by May 15, 2019. Please direct any questions to Peter Altschul, FIA's scholarship chair, via email at searchforcommonground@outlook.com. Speaking Out for the Blind show, April 17th, had a talk about Braille magnets with 8-year-old visually impaired Leilani Layla, Gonzalez, her mom, Vanessa, Ceres, California School District Inclusion Support Specialist Stephanie Alvarez, and high school sophomore Nathan Pethion, P-E-T-H-Y-O-N. We learned how some special 3D printed Braille magnets are helping Layla read letters, words, and sentences. To listen to this week's Speaking Out for the Blind, go to http://acbradio.org/mainstream and choose one of the links under the headings Listen to ACB Radio Mainstream and Now Playing, or call 712-775-4808 and when prompted, press 1 for ACB Radio Mainstream. You may also listen to the program live on the ACB Link mobile app. For more information, go to http://link.acb.org. Show archive page is at http://acbradio.org/speaking-out-for-the-blind. Please note that there is a link located at the top half of the page and below the heading that says Home, Speaking Out for the Blind, where you can subscribe to the podcast feed and listen to Speaking Out for the Blind shows ranging from episode 94 to the present. Facebook page is at Speaking Out for the Blind, and Twitter page is at Speak Out for the Blind. You may also access this at Speak Out Blind. My new show email address is speakout@acbradio.org. The Fantasy Book Club will be held on the fourth Wednesday of this month, Wednesday, April 24th, 2018. We will continue the format of having everybody read a book and discuss their book choice with the group. We will be using a web platform called Zoom. The software can be used on all smartphones and operating systems. The relevant info is https://zoom.us/j/56111-2974. On iPhone OneTap in the U.S., call 1-408-638-0986, #56111-2974 #, or 1-646-876-9923, #56111-2974 #, or telephone in the U.S., 1-646-876-9923, or 1-408-638-0986, and use the meeting ID 561-112-974. International numbers available https://zoom.us/u/. Julia Kulak, Group Facilitator, julia.kulak@gmail.com. Last week on Eyes on Success, https://www.eyesonsuccess.net/EOS_1916_podcast.mp3. Episode 1916 had The Voice Behind Siri, air date April 17, 2019. Show notes. Meet Susan Bennett, whose voice was used to create the original female English language Siri voice. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talk with Susan about her experiences as a voice artist, actress, and musician, what it was like to create the voice for Siri, how she found out that she was the voice behind Siri, and how it changed her career. Download this or any other episode from www.eyesonsuccess.net or listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, you can also listen to your smartphone home device by saying play Eyes on Success podcast. Check out Eyes on Success, formerly Viewpoints, a weekly half-hour audio program for people living with vision loss. Find out more about the show and get links to past episodes at http://www.eyesonsuccess.net/. The Tech Talk Zoom meeting that met April 22, 2019, had the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped has been circulating books and magazines in Braille and audio for nearly 90 years. From the start, it has harnessed the latest technology to help people who are unable to use standard print materials continue to experience the joys of reading. That innovative spirit is driving more than a dozen projects currently underway at NLS that are exploring new products and services. Rapid advancements in technology are giving us new tools to connect with current and future patrons in whatever way is most convenient for them, NLS Director Karen Kenninger said. In some cases, that means providing the technology for people who don't have it. But more and more, it means maximizing the compatibility of our service with devices people already have. For most of NLS's history, patrons could only receive materials by postage-free mail or pick them up at NLS-affiliated libraries. As digital delivery became ubiquitous for all types of media, NLS launched its Braille and Audio Reading Download, BARD, service in 2009. The BARD mobile apps for iPhone and Android devices came along a few years later. More than 105,000 books are now available on BARD, and in the 2018 fiscal year, NLS patrons downloaded more than 4 million Braille and audio books and magazines. Projects now underway are preparing NLS for a future where service is centered around BARD. For example, NLS is exploring the use of a voice user interface, similar to commercially available virtual assistants, to navigate the collection and play books on a smart device. NLS is also testing streaming content. Streaming audio has several advantages over downloading, including the ability to listen to a book as soon as a user selects it. Also, streaming audio is mobile. Patrons can start listening to a book on their device at home, and then if they leave the house, pick up wherever they left off on their smart device. Another project is exploring solutions for NLS patrons who can't use Bard because they don't have a computer or internet access. We recognize that many patrons don't have high-speed data connections, so we've been testing an easy-to-use wireless device that will allow them to download books from Bard via public cellular systems, Kenninger said. One project that's close to becoming reality will provide Braille e-readers to patrons who can't afford to buy their own. NLS will soon purchase a number of prototype devices specifically designed to read NLS Braille materials that will be piloted in spring of 2020. While all this is going on, NLS continues to expand its collection by acquiring more commercial audiobooks, nearly 1,700 in fiscal 2018. Many of those commercial titles are available only on Bard, another reason for NLS to make it easy for its patrons to go digital first. Without doubt, all these advances are exciting, but Kenninger is quick to emphasize the deliberate pace of innovation behind the scenes at NLS. We won't be adopting technology for its own sake. The goal is to use technology to enhance the reading experience for our patrons, to make it easier and more efficient, to improve their quality of life. That's what NLS is all about. For more information about NLS programs, contact Kristen Fernikes, Head of Communications and Outreach, at 202-707-0521 or by email at krfe@loc.gov. About 10 minutes before each program, dial the Zoom numbers or work with your computer link found on your Zoom invitation. That meeting is over, so I won't bother to read that. In my intro, I said the next article is from the NFB. It is from the AFB.org website. A profile of Jeff Bishop, Program Manager, Microsoft Corporation. Article by Deborah Kendrick. You may not think that one person can be both a computer nerd and popular, but it's possible. In reflecting on his own growth and development as a programmer, Jeff Bishop describes himself as a seventh grade nerd at the Arizona School for the Blind, writing programs and figuring out how things worked. In contrast to the socially awkward, unstylish stereotype that you might think of when you hear the word nerd, however, Jeff Bishop has an irresistibly warm and open spirit that draws others to him. His gratitude for where life has led him is profound. When he talks about computers, he sounds like a friend describing something wonderful, and you want to know more. Today, Jeff Bishop is a program manager on the Windows accessibility team at Microsoft. The idea for this Access World article was sparked by an internet presentation Bishop gave on improvements that had been made to the Windows Narrator screen reader. If there is one tiresome statistic that everyone connected with blindness and low vision has heard all too often, it is the 70% unemployment rate for people with visual impairments. What is it, I wondered, that leads one person who is blind to do a job he loves, a job where his talent is clearly respected, and where he has the joy of knowing he is contributing to a product's usability for his peers? Why does he continue to be employed while other people with visual impairments do not? What are the steps that lead to success, and how can currently unemployed people with visual impairments learn from someone who has taken them? Early life and attitudes. Jeff Bishop has always worked. He is always expected to have a career and earn a paycheck. His perception of the origins of his success are clear. First, growing up as a blind child, his parents encouraged him to do everything he possibly could. He rode bikes. He roller skated. He played hard and worked hard in school. His parents, he says, were absolutely involved in everything he did and encouraged him to reach higher. When a serious bout with spinal meningitis put him behind in school, requiring that he repeat the first grade, he struggled initially to learn Braille. His mom worked with him every night at the kitchen table, learning enough Braille herself to be a valuable coach. His mom's determination that he learn to read and write Braille was critical, he says, as Braille has had a tremendous impact on his career. In high school and college, before he had electronic Braille, he lugged around multiple oversized volumes of Braille books. Math, in particular, he says, would be impossible without Braille. Later, as Braille displays emerged, he has always used them in his work. from using that first 20-cell Versa Braille 2 to displays boasting 80 cells or as few as 14, Braille has been essential to Bishop's professional success. Both parents grasped every opportunity to encourage him to stretch mentally and physically. At the grocery store, his mom told him the prices of things, and he added them mentally for her using the math tricks his dad had taught him. One day, his dad told him they were going camping. When they arrived, it turned out that the core plan was to teach Jeff to water ski. He revels in the memory, describing it as a perfect example of how his parents never treated his blindness as a dead end, but rather a prompt for finding a detour. They dug in to find workarounds for anything that he wanted to do. When he became interested in amateur radio, his dad studied theory with him. And when he became interested in computers, it was his dad who researched and found which product in the exploding field of home consumer electronics might be most accessible to a kid who couldn't see the screen. Braille makes it possible to see layout and design in a way that I can't imagine would be possible for a blind person otherwise, Bishop says. I see it as absolutely essential tool to do my job. For those before us, Bishop attributes success to those who built the platforms he depends upon in his work. Louis Braille, of course, who invented the tactile reading system, and Dr. Abraham Nemeth, who invented a system for reading and writing mathematics in Braille, are at the top of his list. He also has a long list of computer professionals, blind and sighted, who forged paths for him to follow. I owe my job today to all the many giants who came before me, he says, rattling off names like Ted Henter, creator of the original JAWS screen reading software for DOS and founder of the company that is now Vispero, Doug Jeffrey, formerly of GW Micro, Glenn Gordon and Eric Damery of Henter Joyce, Clarence Whaley of GW Micro, and 1980s tech support people like Randy Knapp and Christopher Gray, Arctic and Telesensory Corporations, respectively. Finally, Jeff attributes his ongoing success to the colleagues and supervisors he has had on every job who have believed in his abilities and provided reinforcement for his efforts. They say it takes a village, Jeff says, and in my case, that has been true. I have always had the support and collaboration of those around me. He cites examples of colleagues getting on board with innovating and discovering alternative methods for him to approach what could have been inaccessible computing environments. Career path. Jeff Bishop's first computer was a Commodore 64, where Jeff cut his teeth in basic programming and assembly language, and enjoyed old-style Infocom games when he wasn't studying for school. Jeff continued to study programming in high school, and even partnered with schoolmates to develop a way of getting computer code output using Morse code. There were short beeps and longer beeps, he says, poking a little fun at those rudimentary beginnings. It worked well enough that he got an A in the class. Bishop also received assistance from others to read the computer screen, which laid the groundwork for his future career. He studied computers in college, both at Pima Community College at the University of Arizona, but went to work before graduating. He had married, was beginning a family, and was offered an opportunity to work as a technical writer for Interactive Information Systems. On a 20-cell Braille display in Tucson, he worked on mainframes that were on the East Coast. It was the beginning of a long and happy career working out accessibility wrinkles with the support of fellow workers. Next, Bishop had an opportunity to move to California to work for Disney's Imagineering. He would be writing the software that was used by developers to track the building of thrill-seeker rides like Space Mountain. Always moving forward, he worked for the coding industry, the automotive industry, on software used to screen new employees, and more. When Microsoft opened a call center in Arizona in 1995, he went to work for his favorite company for the first time. Until then, he had been using Arctic Business Vision, JAWS for DOS, and an 80-cell Braille display that made layout entirely feasible for a blind person. Windows was introduced shortly before his 1995 job with Microsoft began, so he was excited to learn Windows and the program he supported, Microsoft Access. Co-workers and supervisors were quick to help him innovate and problem-solve, always working around accessibility issues. Sometimes, he recalls, he was able to perform necessary tasks in Access faster than the sighted customer he was coaching. In 2001, he had an opportunity to go to work for the University of Arizona, a job that would hold him longer than any previous rung on his career ladder. At the University of Arizona, Bishop became an IT analyst, working on student information systems and learning management systems. Most tools were fully accessible. When technological barriers meant his career was temporarily thrown into disruption, he was moved to work on a fully accessible platform called Desire to Learn. Even beyond the work environment, Bishop has found generous support. As professional and advocacy opportunities required that he do more public speaking, he enrolled in Toastmasters to polish his skills. Like most people blind from birth, gestures and facial expressions were not instinctive for him. Sighted people do things with their hands, their eyes, their faces to help communicate ideas, he says, that we as blind people aren't always aware of. Toward the goal of learning those visual nuances, he recalls a time when a fellow Toastmaster stood behind him while he delivered a speech in order to coach him through newly learned gestures. Moving to Washington, Bishop says that in his 16 years at the University of Arizona, they were great years, but in 2017 he was offered the opportunity to work for what many in his field might see as a career pinnacle, Microsoft. He and his wife moved to Kirkland, Washington in July of 2017. Bishop is totally blind, has always worked, and is currently at the top of his game. In his new role as a program manager on the Microsoft Windows Accessibility team, he is exploring and innovating ideas that benefit blind and low-vision computer users everywhere. He attributes his success to 1, parents who believed in his abilities, 2, learning to read and write Braille, and 3, always being surrounded by people who are supportive of his work and willing to innovate and collaborate when workarounds are needed. And how has he managed to tap into such supportive environments? He is thoughtful for a moment and then explains. When something doesn't work for me, a form isn't accessible, for example, I explain that to others. I try to do it gently and clearly, and the result is that I am teaching them something, and they are usually teaching me as well. Sharing that needed approach to make something accessible to me makes me more effective, but it makes other members of my team more effective as well. It's important to be careful and to be kind. Bishop is effusive with gratitude for the mentors and giants who paved the way, as well as for sighted co-workers who work alongside him. I've always been so lucky to work with tremendous, amazing people. I am so thankful for that. What he doesn't say is that his own nature goes a long way toward enlisting that appreciated support from others. He clearly learned at an early age to give and take, as to teach and encourage others to innovate with him rather than demand. He is generous with his time, giving back by advocating for other blind people in his role as a board member of the American Council of the Blind, or making online presentations to share information that might enhance the lives of other blind people. His easy manner and affability are a winning combination that entices others to engage in problem-solving with him, and are qualities that aspiring blind professionals in any field would do well to emulate. Bishop loves his job, and the rest of us will undoubtedly benefit from the talent he brings to enhancing computer accessibility. This article is made possible in part by generous funding from the James H. and Alice Tubert Charitable Trust, Huntington, West Virginia. From Cool Blind Tech, a wallet designed for blind and visually impaired identifies banknote denominations, posted March 26th. How a designer came up with a wallet that can help the visually impaired identify banknote denominations. Kama Leung is an award-winning designer who wants to bring inclusiveness into her city. She runs Mosi Mosi, a design studio that's centered on innovative products for people with disabilities. The wallet has a special panel attached inside, which allows a user to slide notes up against it and tell their value according to width. Looking no different from any other wallet on the outside, it is specially designed for the visually impaired. The needs of people with disabilities are often neglected in the market due to their small population and lower purchasing power, Leung says. I want to use my skills to do something for them. According to government statistics, Hong Kong has 578,600 people with disabilities, accounting for 8.1% of the population. Of this, there are 174,800 people with visual impairments. Leung set up her design studio in 2016 and named it Mosi Mosi, which sounds like Cantonese for no worries. The name reflects her work philosophy to create people-oriented products that make life easier. The wallet is the first signature offering from Lung's studio. She originally came up with the idea for her graduation project while majoring in communication design at Polytechnic University. Her inspiration came from an experience one day when she saw a man walking with a crutch in Shek Kip Mai. Lung observed that he almost stepped into flower beds or nearly fell downstairs several times. The man's struggles moved her, and she introduced herself to him, wanting to know if she could help. He then led her to the NGO Hong Kong Society for the Blind, where she met Ao Kit Ying, 33, who was visually impaired. Having spent some time together, Lung found that Ao also often had difficulties distinguishing denominations of banknotes, which was what sparked the wallet idea. It took her 6 months to complete the design, including taking Ao to the market to choose suitable materials. Kif Tsang Takping, also a designer and the former PolyU assistant professor who supervised Lung on her project, calls it a humanistic design. She is concerned about mainstream design, but at the same time is able to broaden the conventional concept, says Tsang, who is also co-founder of the School of Everyday Life, a nonprofit organization bringing together people with similar interests. After graduation, Lung spent half a year improving the wallet's design, including crowdfunding it in 2016 to raise 300,000 Hong Kong dollars to produce 1,500 pieces. She receives orders from Facebook users who presumably want to buy the wallets for visually impaired loved ones. In January, Standard Chartered Bank bought 500 wallets for the Ebenezer School and Home for the Visually Impaired, as well as the Hong Kong Blind Union. Lung has also designed other products for people with disabilities. These include a coin purse catering to those with cerebral palsy and who have difficulties using their fingers. A special rim on the purse lid allows the user to simply get coins neatly by tilting the purse without having to rummage inside. Lung also holds workshops for people with intellectual disabilities to help them learn about themselves and develop hobbies. The recognition Lung has won include the DFA Hong Kong Young Design Talent Award in 2015, after which she went to Japan for a year to work. Inspired by Japan's user-friendly designs for people with special needs, she wants to create a more inclusive environment in Hong Kong. Posted April 16th on coolblindtech.com, this program helps visually impaired and blind children scuba dive. Blind and visually impaired children are learning to scuba dive thanks to a special program in Berks County. The Heritage of Green Hills in Kubru Township hosted the scuba diving class instructed by the Adaptive Diving Association. Participating children came from Vision Corps, a Lancaster nonprofit that empowers people who are blind or vision impaired to attain independence. To see people who never thought they could have access to finally have the ability to do something they never dreamed possible is fantastic, said Kenneth Hoser of the Adaptive Diving Association. When people think they can't do something, no, they can. Somebody just has to make it available. The Adaptive Diving Association has been organizing instructive programs for more than three decades. A little bit of information from the Adaptive Diving Association website. For untold numbers of people around the globe, adaptive scuba diving allows them to experience a world of freedom and independence without the restraints of gravity. In recent years, we have embraced the military veterans, men and women, who have valiantly served our country and have suffered physical injuries and emotional trauma, which have negatively impacted the quality of their lives. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.